Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9. Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers, text 36. Evam sahasra varanagri shirakaroru na sadya karna nayana varana yudadyam. Maya mayam sarupalakshita sannivesham drishva mahapurusham ap muda varinchaha. Evam, in this way, sahasra, thousands and thousands. Varana, faces. Angri, feet. Shira, heads. Kara, hands. Uru, thighs. Nasha, adya, noses, etc. Karna, ears. Nayana, eyes. Abharana, varieties of ornaments. Ayudam, varieties of weapons. Adyam, endowed with. Maya mayam, all demonstrated by unlimited potency. Sat upalakshita, appearing in different symptoms. Sannivesham, combined together. Drishva, seeing. Mahapurusham, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ap, I guess in Sanskrit would be apa, achieved. Mudam, transcendental bliss. Varinchaha, Lord Brahma. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Lord Brahma could then see you possessing thousands and thousands of faces, feet, heads, hands, thighs, noses, ears, and eyes. You were very nicely dressed, being decorated and bedecked with thousands varieties of ornaments and weapons. Seeing you in the form of Lord Vishnu, your symptoms and form being transcendental, your legs extending from the lower planets, Lord Brahma achieved transcendental bliss. Purport. Lord Brahma, being completely pure, could see the original form of the Lord as Vishnu, having many thousands of faces and forms. This process is called self-realization. Genuine self-realization consists not only in perceiving the impersonal effulgence of the Lord by seeing face to face the transcendental form of the Lord. As distinctly mentioned here, Lord Brahma saw the Supreme Lord as Mahapurusha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Arjuna also saw Krishna in this the same way. Therefore he told the Lord, Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Paramam Bhavan Purusham Shasvatam Divyam. You are the Supreme Brahman, the ultimate, the supreme abode and purifier, the absolute truth and the eternal divine person. The Lord is Parama Purusha, the supreme form, Purusha Shasvatam. He is everlastingly the supreme enjoyer. It is not that the impersonal Brahman assumes a form. On the contrary, the impersonal Brahman effulgence is an emanation from the supreme form of the Lord. Upon being purified, Brahma could see the supreme form of the Lord. The impersonal Brahman cannot have heads, noses, ears, hands, and legs. This is not possible, for these are attributes of the Lord's form. The word maya mayam means spiritual knowledge. This is explained by Madhvacharya. Maya mayam jnana sarupam. The word maya mayam, describing the Lord's form, should not be taken to mean illusion. Rather, the Lord's form is factual, and seeing this form is the result of perfect knowledge. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Bhavanam jamanamante jnanamam prapadyate. The word jnanavan refers to one who is perfectly in knowledge. Such a person can see the supreme the personality of Godhead, and therefore he surrenders unto the Lord. The Lord being symptomatized by face, nose, ears, and so on, is eternal. Without such a form, no one can be blissful. The Lord, however, is Satchitananda Vigraha. As stated in the Shastra, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchitananda Vigraha. When one is in perfect knowledge, transcendental bliss, he can see the Lord's supreme form, Vigraha. In this regard, Srila Madhvacharya says, Gandakya Devata Yadvat Prithivim Yapya Tishtati Evam Vyaptam Jagat Vishnum Brahmatma Stam Darshaha. The Darshaha. Lord Brahma saw that as aromas and colors spread throughout the earth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead pervades the cosmic manifestation in a subtle form. Lord Brahma could then see you possessing thousands and thousands of faces, feet, heads, hands, thighs, noses, ears, and eyes. You are very nicely dressed, being decorated, would be decked with varieties of weapons, ornaments and weapons. Seeing you in the form of Lord Vishnu, your symptoms and form being transcendental, your legs extending from the lower planets, Lord Brahma achieved transcendental bliss. Again, it describes something beyond our experience. All we can do is try to get some intellectual understanding of what's being described here. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes different universal forms. There's a whole chapter called the universal form. But that's not exactly what's being described here, because what's being described here is the subtle form of Krishna. The universal form is also, parts of it are subtle, but the universal form, as it says in the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Sarvatapani padam tat sarvata shishuramukam sarvata shutimaloke sarma vrittitishtite. Everywhere his hands and legs, his eyes and faces, and he exists everywhere. In this way, the Supreme Lord exists, pervading everything. In other words, if you want to see in that form Krishna's arms and legs and hands and faces, you just have to look in the mirror and you see one of them. Now we're imagining that this is my body, this is my hands, this is my legs, this is my head, but actually it's just part of Krishna's universal form. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, there's other forms that are also described that, let's see, get the first one. Aneka vatra nayanam, aneka bhuta darshanam, aneka divya bharanam, divya neko ditayudam. Diva malam balam varam, diva gandam alepanam, sarvasrayamayam devam, ananta vishvato mukam. Divya sura sahasrasyaha, bhavadyugata udita, idi vasa srishi sasyat, basis tasya mahatmanaha. Arjuna saw that universal form, unlimited mouths, unlimited eyes, unlimited wonderful visions. This form was decorated with many celestial ornaments and bore many divine upraised weapons. He wore celestial garlands and garments, and many divine scents were smeared over his body. All was wondrous, brilliant, unlimited, all expanding. If hundreds and thousands of suns were to rise at once into the sky, their radiance might resemble the effulgence of the Supreme Person in that universal form. So this is getting a little closer to what's being described here. If it's not the same thing, I don't know. Because it's described that when Duryodhana, when Krishna went to talk peace with Duryodhana, he was a demon, to be frank. I guess more polite ways. He was an asura. And although Krishna had requested, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, He requested the cooperation of Duryodhana, but Duryodhana wasn't inclined at all to cooperate. As a matter of fact, he was inclined to cause as much problems as he could. So he refused a peace offer, and then he invited Krishna to for prasadam, well, so-called prasadam. Krishna refused. He wouldn't eat anything there. So then Duryodhana pulled it. Then Krishna showed his various, some universal forms. But Duryodhana wasn't impressed at all. And actually he sprung a trap door that threw Krishna into the depths of the earth. That's how polite he was. Of course Krishna got out of the trap. And then he went to Vidura's house. So, I mean, he was a real demon, Duryodhana. Of course, that was one version of the Mahabharata. We can't trust them all. But in any case, Krishna did show various universal forms, as Prabhupada says in the Srimad Bhagavatam. But that wasn't the same universal form as Krishna showed to Arjuna on the battlefield Kurukshetra. So it appears that Krishna has quite a number of forms, unlimited forms, anantarupam. And which one is being displayed? Well, we'd have to get a snapshot and compare them to be able to say definitely this is exactly. We don't know whether it's exactly the same universal form or not. All we can know is what's within our experience, and luckily our experience is not so unlimited that we're not confused, because there's nothing to be confused about. All you can see is that, according to Bhagavad Gita, that these hands and legs that I think are mine actually belong to Krishna. And that me, the little tiny soul within the body, I have a choice. I can use these hands and legs and eyes and faces, whatever there exists. Well, of course, I don't have so many faces. Of course, I can make faces. But most people will still recognize me, whatever. But I have two hands. As Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, we were told, I never saw it written, but we were told that he was asked, how many disciples do you have? So he said, I have four. And the person who asked him was quite surprised. You only have four disciples? You've been preaching so long. Only four? He said, actually, I only have really four. He said, I have two hands and legs, and those are the only four. Those four actually listen to me. So the point is that if we want to control anything in this world, if we want to identify ourselves as a controller, first of all, we have to control our hands and legs. If we can't do that, what's the question of controlling anyone else? And actually, we can't control our hands and legs because they don't belong to us. They belong to Krishna. Krishna is completely in control of them. And in his form of time, although we may say I'm moving my hands and legs, in the course of time, I won't even be here to move these hands and legs. They won't even be here anymore. So to claim that I am these hands and legs, or I'm controlling them, is not correct. Anadi prakrite kriyama anani gunai karmani sarvashaha ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. The foolish, bewildered by the three modes of material nature, consider themselves the cause of the activities which are actually carried out by the modes of material nature. Let's get the right translation here. Prakrite kriyamanaini gunai karmani sarvashaha ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti. Bewildered by the three modes of material nature, the foolish identify themselves as the doer of activities which are actually carried out by the modes of nature. Not exactly. I even forgot what it is. Chapters. Prakrite Kriya. It should be around 7. What's that? 327. Spirit soul bewildered by the influence of the false ego thinks himself the doer of activities which are in actuality carried out by the three modes of material nature. So that's the nature of the false ego. It's bewildering. And it's so subtle, we're not even conscious of it. Just like we're not really even conscious very much the fact of where our intelligence is coming from. Even our minds, we're sometimes not aware of how our mind is working, what to speak of our intelligence, what to speak of the background of material identification, which is the false ego. But at least theoretically, we can understand that I'm not the doer, and therefore I can, when I'm doing something properly, then I'm under the spiritual energy, then I can observe and not become affected by my activities. In other words, if I simply situate myself apart from the material body, then I become free from anxiety. As soon as I think myself to be this body in some way or another, then what is my future? What is the future of the body? Does anyone know? Bhakti Devi, what happens to the body? It's dead. Oh no. When did it die? It will disappear, yes. It's already disappearing. We don't have the same body when we walked into this temple room. It disappeared. Can you find it, Ananta, where it went? Where your body went? Our bodies, does anyone want their body to completely disappear? Anyone here? Sometimes people go, yeah, I don't care if I die, and they hold a gun to it. No, no, don't shoot. No one wants to leave their body. Everyone is in love with their body in the material world. But their body is always disappearing, and the final disappearance is called death. And no one wants that. Everyone is afraid of it. What's going to happen? Therefore, as soon as I identify myself with this body, the only thing I could be is in anxiety. There's no other thing I could be in. It's just a question of how much anxiety I'm in. Now, everyone in the material world is in anxiety, according to Krishna and Bhagavad Gita, from Brahma down to the meanest insect. They're all in anxiety, everyone. And how much anxiety we'll be in will be determined by how much we identify ourselves with the body, and our identification with the body will be determined by how much we identify ourselves with Krishna. The more we identify ourselves with Krishna as Krishna's servant, then the less we're identified with this gross and subtle material body. So if we want to take the credit for our activities, we want to take the results of our work, then we're going to have to take the anxiety that goes with it. And if we want to observe how everything is being conducted by Krishna's energy, and that also my only business is to figure out what Krishna wants me to do. I don't even have to figure out necessarily what everyone else is supposed to do, unless that's my business. So our only business is we only have two businesses. To find out what our business is, and then to figure out what our how's business. That's the only thing. We don't have to worry about what everyone else is doing if we're not supposed to worry about what everyone else is doing. If that's our duty, to worry what someone else is doing to some extent, then that's our business. And then we should find out how well I'm doing my business. We have nothing else to do. We don't have to worry about who's going to be elected for the President of the United States, because it makes no difference. It has nothing to do with, well, it may have something to do with us, indirectly, but we have no influence over it. Unless you believe that if you sneeze, it influences the whole universe. Unless you have such a crazy idea that every breath you take is changing the universe. Maybe it is, but to such an insignificant amount, it wouldn't make your breath doesn't make any difference to anyone except for yourself. So the conclusion is we should understand how things are working within our limited ability, how Lord Brahma or Krishna in his subtle form pervading the universe. We can't even see what's going on right in front of our nose. So we can understand this theoretically, that Prahlad Maharaj may have had some realization, and we can appreciate it. And we should have some realization of how at least his body belongs to Krishna, and I should utilize it for Krishna's service without attachment. Because as long as I'm attached to what this body is doing, rather than becoming an instrument for Krishna, I'll be in anxiety, I'll suffer. And as soon as I utilize this body for Krishna's service, then I'll remember Krishna and I'll be in bliss. Even if I don't see Krishna's form directly, but I'll see how everything here is actually part of Krishna's form, his universal form. So at least, then I won't forget Krishna. I'll see Krishna at least before me and his different energies, and I'll be able to consult with Krishna what he wants me to do with this energy. Then I can make some progress. So then when I taste water, I'll remember this is Krishna's energy, this is Krishna, this is non-different from Krishna. And eventually then I'll remember Krishna all the time. And eventually the form of Krishna, the transcendental form, will come naturally, remembrance, etc., etc. But if we can't see Krishna in form, right in front of us, we can't see what we're already seeing, then it's paschana pina paschati. We're seeing, but not we're not really seeing. So our first business is to actually see what's actually happening. And then we'll be able to see properly. Then we'll be able to chant Hare Krishna with some feeling, with some attention, because we won't be distracted by misseeing. Misseeing means, if I don't see how everyone and everything belongs to Krishna, I'll see that everything and everyone belongs to me, or it already belongs to me, or I'll think in the future, maybe by some arrangement, it'll come into my service, the service of my gross and subtle body. So this kind of mentality will not enable us to concentrate on the holy name and eventually see Krishna spontaneously. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
Someone should say something, because Krishna says I'm not silent either. Krishna's disappeared. Actually, it's so silent here, I can actually hear the clock. Let's have 5 minutes of silence. All right, we'll stop there and break the silence. Grandarashima Bhagavatam, he died.